Okay, let's continue our journey through the letters of the alphabet. Today we are up to the letter
Yud.
Okay, the letter Yud. Ho'asiri yihiyeh kodesh. The tenth letter of the alphabet is the holiest letter, because Ho'asiri, the pasuk says Ho'asiri yihiyeh kodesh. You can't argue with the pasuk of the Chumash. The letter Chazal tell us that says in the pasuk, "Ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim." Everyone is well aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with two letters. The letter Hey is Olam Hazeh, and the letter Yud is Olam Haba. That's why we have Ish v'Isha, Shechina b'neim, Shalom b'neim, Shechina b'neim. The difference between the man and the woman is the Yud and the Hey. The man has the Yud. They both have the letters Aleph, Shin. The difference: the man has the letter Yud, and the woman has the letter Hey. Man has more of a tendency to gravitate towards spirituality, Yud, Olam Haba, and a woman is more rooted in Olam Hazeh. Don't say that over. I get into a lot of trouble. And therefore the woman has the Hey, and when the two come together, that is what marriage is all about, is the synthesis of two things which are different. They synthesize together. Ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. Yud represents kodesh, spirituality, olam haba, and he represents olam hazeh, gashmis. There's a Rashi. Rashi says, oz yivne shlomo bama l'chomosh. There's a Sefer Shmulachim Shlomo Melech, when he built the Beis Hamikdash, he married many women from many different nations. His intent was in order to bring them all tachas kanfei Hashchina, to bring Mashiach and to be an Orla Amen. And by marrying women from different nations, that would the princesses of different kings, that would automatically he would be able to have influence over the entire world. So the pasuk there criticizes Shlomo Oz Yivne. He built a bama in honor of one of his wives. He built an altar for an avodah zarah. Chazal discuss it doesn't chas v'shalom mean he actually built a avodah zarah. So one interpretation means that he thought, he was planning. So Rashi there it says, from here we learn, I think it's a Rashi, that the letter Yud in the beginning of the word represents the concept of machshava. It doesn't say oz bono, he built. Oz yivne, he will build. And Chazal interpreted this to mean that he was planning on building. So from here Rashi makes a very interesting dig. The letter Yud represents the concept of machashava, thought. And that fits very well into the idea, ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. Olam haba is a makom of, it's not a makom of gashmi, it's a makom of the mind. Seichel, thought, maral talk, this is a very deep ideas. It all goes in hand in hand. Yud is spirituality, kodesh, yud is olam haba, yud is machshava, is thought. All of these are different terms for the same idea. Yeah.
The end of that about Torah, about the yud and the k, is that without the Yerushalmi says it, is that without the yud and the k, you're left with
aish. Aish. So if there's no peace between them, the yud and the hey do not come together. It's fire. Fire is divorce. You must in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so that is one. Now, here's a very interesting another idea, which also is another which parallels, which elaborates upon this day of Olam Haba. We have the Luchos. Yesterday we discussed that it does not say in the Luchos letter Tes, Leman Yitav Loch and the Luchos Rishonos. It only says Leman Yitav Loch and Luchos Shnios, but it does say in both the Luchos Rishonos and Shnios, if a person will honor his father and mother, he will marry Leman Yarichun Yomecha. You have long days. But there's a difference between the way the word Yarichun is spelled in the Luchos Rishonos versus the Luchos Shnios. Is it Mole v'choser? In the Luchos Rishonos, Leman Yarichun, the Yud is absent. In the Luchos Shnios, the Yud is Mole. And why is it, first of all, what Yarichun, Yarichun, instead of there being Yarui, after the Reish, there is the Reish, the Chiruk. Is a Chiruk Mole, a Chiruk Choser? There's a Yud. Why is there a Yud? So the reason why there's a Yud in Luchos Shnios in the Farshim Zeh is to teach you that Arichas Yomim is not in this world. It's true, there is some degree of reward in this world. No one's coming to deny that. There's word Paris in this world. But the Ikar, the primary reward for mitzvahs of Leman Yarichun Yimechel Le'olam in the world that's Kuli Aruch, is an Olam Haba. So we just concluded by teaching, by learning, that the Yud represents the idea, Ki Beko Hashem Tzur Olamim, the Yud is Olam Haba, the Yud is Machshava, the Yud is spirituality, the reward of Ki B'Avoyim, L'man Yarichon Yomecha, it's not in this world. Primarily, the reward is in the Olam that's Kuloi Aruch, that's completely long, whatever that means, mystical terms, in Olam Haba. That's why the Yud there is present, the Luchos Shnios.
And there's such a thing as time in Olam.
We don't know what that means. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ahoya, Ahoyda, V'yiyah. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, the past, the present, and the future, it's all the same. That's probably the most Dover Gashmi in this world. One of the most fundamental differences between this world is time. In this world, everything is linear. You can't go back. Time. And even more than space. Because Olam Haba, there is something called space. You do have Mokaros and Chazal, there's something called space. Different type of space. But time? There's no something as time in Olam Haba. It's Yom Shekula Aruch. Time is one of the most fundamental differences between the world that we know, and we can't even imagine what it means. I had a discussion with Dr. Aaron Priest about time. I told him this idea. You know, I want to mention this very quickly about Gilgul Neshamos. It's such a mystical concept. The person who comes back in this world. If you look in Chazal, okay, we don't know what this thing is. This is go talk about this thing in some places. They'll throw you out. You know, Gilgul Neshamos, reincarnation. So you find in Chazal, you're always going forward. A person, he dies. He lives in this world. He hasn't accomplished his mission, he comes back 30 years later to accomplish his mission. So I told him, there's such a concept of going back in time. Person, he lives in the 21st century, he has a cell phone, he has a computer, he has all the gadgets, you know, a nice car, and then, you know, he comes to Shemayim, and you know, he has not fulfilled his tachlis. There's something more he has to accomplish in this world. And Hashem sees that the perfect setting, environment for him to be challenged with his tafkid would be to go back 1,000 years ago. To live in this time period, he would accomplish his tafkid. Is there such a thing as Gilgul Neshamos going back in time? Because by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hoya Hove V'yiyah. Chazal, you don't find this. You don't find this idea in Chazal. But maybe Chazal are only focusing one way. Maybe it's all one and the same. So I suggested that possibly the world is constantly evolving, like a science fiction movie. Going back in time, and things are always, always evolving. Is there such a concept of Gilgul Neshamos going back in time? So I told this so, and he said to me, "What do you mean? And go back 1,000 years? No cell phone? No email? Horse and buggy? No plumbing? No way. No way. I cannot live without an iPhone. I cannot. I am not going back in time."
In the Gashmias world, you wouldn't have Machshava, so you wouldn't have the memory of...
Exactly. But he's saying, would you want to go back? So he's saying, no, I wouldn't. I'm so used to, you know, all of the creature comforts. The creature comforts. I can't even see my mind going back. Is there such a thing? So L'chorin, no. You don't find this. But so this to Dr. Empress, he's a very big mathematician, a world class mathematician. He was very familiar with Einstein, with all of his theories of relativity and so on and so forth. And he told me that in time there is such a thing. It's not science fiction. He told me even in this world there is such a thing of going back in time. And he said, like, theoretically, so he says it's not so far fetched to say that if it's true, we don't know what this means. To say Gilgul Neshamos in the yeshivas that I grew up in, if you would say the word Gilgul Neshamos, out. Get the word, this is not out. This is not in the Hasidish yeshivas. You know, Gilgul Neshamos. This is mainstream stuff. Nitl Nach. Now, when is Nitl? That's today? No. The seventh, the second Nitl. The seven, yeah, the double nittel. The yeshivas, I never even heard of nittel. What is this nittel? In Hasidic yeshivas is the way of life. It's double posh, okay. But yud is machshava, we're going off topic, yud is machshava, yud is elam haba, leman yarichun yomecha, it's mole, the difference between the luchos, rishonis, and shnias is indicating that the alirichas is the land, yom shakul aruch, a world that's kula aruch of elam haba is the letter yud. Okay, next thing. The kotzo shel yud. What now? Everyone knows. You always hear in Chazal that when we want to talk about the smallest teeny bit of matter, you talk about the kotzo shel yud, the little thorn that appears upon the yud. In fact, if you have a sefer Torah, it's in the Gemara, then the kotzo shel yud is absent. It's pasul. The yud must have a kotz. Now this is just often. This is just a halachic issue you should be aware of. What is the kotzo shel yud? So most people will think that the kotzo shel yud, make a large yud is. I'll draw a yud, a very large yud, so you all can see. Right, everyone can see this. Right, this is the yud, right?
Yeah.
So what is the kotzo shel yud? So most people will tell you it's this. It's this top point, right? That is the code, so there must be a point on the top of the yud. Right, I believe that's maybe I don't, one of the Rishonim say this. If you have a tefillin or a sefer Torah tefillin, you don't have that kotz, that point on top, puzzle. But you should have some halacha. Halacha is the kotz or shel yud is this part. There are seifim today that sit the whole day and they write kotz or shel yuds because of the old seifim that didn't write. They want to kasher the old sefer Torah. According to most Rishonim, the kotz or shel yud is the bottom kotz. So when you say, that little point, go look at a Sefer Torah, next time take out a little teeny dot comes down, that point that comes down, that is the kotzo shel yud. And if you don't have this in your tefillin, it's not mehudar. You got a Sefer, and the Sefer does not, some of the Sefer, they're not careful to make the kotzo, the bottom part of that yud. This is like a big, any Sefer, it's like a touchy topic. Anyone that writes Stam today, Sefer Torah Tol Mezuzos, they know all about that. This is like the ABCs of Safras. What is the kotzo shel yud? They'll likely tell you without a blink of their eye the bottom part of the yud. They're not even going to tell you the top part. That's a talk. That's so pashut that's not even necessarily the kotz. This, it could very well be that having the bottom part is more important than the top part. The top part could be called a tag, a crown. And a crown is not always essential. But the kotzo shel yud, the point that's the bottom part of the yud, that is something which is critical. Okay. There are really three points. There's this part of the yud, the right side, and the two different points, the top part. And that's the halachic issue to be aware of, the kotzo shel yud. Okay, let's go further. Now, the word yud in the Gemara, we always discuss the Gemara. Aleph, Beis, Aleph, Bina, Gimel, Dal, and Hevav, Zo, Shmo, Shekadosh Baruch Hu, Zayin, Ches, and Ata, Oisekein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zonoy, Scha, V'chonoy, Scha, Umeitiv, Lach. What's the yud? V'noy, Sein, Lecho, Yerusha. Hashem will give you a Yerusha, an inheritance. I mean the spiritual inheritance of Meirasha. Torah is called the Meirasha. So Hashem gives Klal, He bequeaths to Torah. The Torah is called the Yerusha of Klal Yisrael. It's Meirasha. So we should be aware that the Yud in the Talmud represents the concept of Yerusha, referring to the Yerusha, an inheritance of spirituality, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch, comes from our ancestors, not a Gashmistic Yerusha, but Yerusha of Ruchnias. Okay, just to run through a couple of very, before I go to some more deeper ideas, just to run through that we all know the number 10 represents the concept of Shlemus. Why? Why is the number 10? It's like a set. It's universal. It's a universal, it's not only about a Klal Yisrael, it's a universal idea that the number 10 is a set. Why? It all comes from Maaseh Bereishis. The Asara Mamoros Nivra Ha'olam. People don't even realize when they make the number 10, it's just part of their nature, that 10 is a set, because in the fabric, in the DNA of creation, we have the number 10. Hashem created the world, the Asara Ma'amoros, with 10 statements by Yomer Hashem, by Yomer Bracious Nami Ma'amor, even though there were 7 days, but on those 7 days, Hashem made 10 statements to create the physical world. And in the spiritual world, the entire Torah is contained within the Aseres Hadibros. Aseres Hadibros is not 10 commandments. There are many more than 10 commandments in the 10 commandments. There are 10 statements. There are 10 statements in the Luchos, and in those 10 statements, you can subdivide them into multiple commandments. So it's built into our fabric, into the DNA of nature and of our spiritual essence, the concept of the number 10. 10 is completeness, is a set. And that's why everything follows from here. There are 10 generations from Adam until Noah. And there are 10 generations from Noah until Avram. And there are the Tasher Amaris. And there are 10 Dibros. And a minyan, a quorum for the Shechina to daven, but see, we have to have 10 people. And there are 10 Makos. And there are 10 things that will create Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashemoshos. And there are the 10 Nisyonis of Avram Avinu. He was tested 10 times. And 10 times Klal Yisrael angered Hashem until he got fed up with us. And he said, it's over for you. And in the Kabbalah, there are 10 spheres, v'chahena, v'chahena. I don't have to go over with the, you can come up with a lot of tens. 10 always represents the concept of a set. Okay, now let's go to another idea. The letter Yud represents also going back to Olam Haba, and Chazal say, because why is Olam Haba Yud? Because it's the smallest letter. Scary statement. There are very few tzaddikim. How many people really make it to the major leagues? Very few. The Yud is very, very small. It represents Olam Haba. It's a place for the few. Gehenna, it's very, very big. It's very, very large. But Olam Haba for Yechidim, tzaddikim are Otim, and therefore that's why the letter Yud is very small. Now we know that the letter Yud in the Sefer Torah, the halachic concept, is Moli v'choser. Sometimes they have a chirik. A chirik, sometimes a word is spelled with the Yud, sometimes without the Yud. There's a lot of Jewish why the Yud, not Yud, in different situations. But halacha l'maisa, we are not in our times experts in which word should have a Yud, which word should not have a Yud. And therefore, if you have a Sefer Torah, and according to the Tikkun, you're missing the Yud, so the Sefer Torah, we do not on Shabbos take out, even during the weekday, take out a new Sefer Torah. Even though we have today, everything has been standardized, and we have very specific, very precise Tikkun Sefrim of exactly how to write Sefer Torah, but we are not sure that the standard that's been accepted today, 304,000 letters and 805, we're not 100% certain that the Yud, every Yud that's there, is necessary, or perhaps we're missing a Yud. Therefore, if you have a Sefer Torah and the scribe makes a mistake and he adds the Yud, he takes out a Yud, you're not required to take out another Sefer Torah because we're not really certain anyway with regard to the Yuds. And the same thing is true when it comes to the Vav. And there's a lot of Drushim when it comes to Yuds. I'll just give you one simple example of the word Tzaddikim throughout Tanakh is always written Choser by Sodom. It's always Choser. The only place where you have the word Tzaddikim that's Mole with a Yud, two Yuds, Tzaddikim, two Yuds, is by bribery, sheichat. If you give a bribe to a judge, the salaf divrei tzaddikim will pervert the words of the righteous. So why is that the only time in Tanakh where you have the word tzaddikim with a double yud? To tell you that a bribe is so powerful, even the biggest tzaddik, a tzaddik mole, he's mamish a tzaddik. He said, even to him, a little bribe also can feel. He say, for money you can get everything. You can even get a judge. That's soine betza. You can buy anything for money. What do you mean? You can't buy a judge. That's soine betza. For money, you can buy a judge. That's soine betza also. The salaf divrei tzaddikim, even the greatest. That's just one of about 1,000 drushas of where you make a drusha. Why here is it mole? Why here is it chaser? There's great significance in making the yud and without the yud. Okay, Another example, this just appeals to us because we learned Yeshaya not so long ago, and there it says that when Sanherib, his soldiers died, the 185,000 soldiers died, it says that there were only a few left. The Nahar, the Pasuk says, Yichtevein. The number of soldiers was so little, even a Nahar can write. According to the Ibn Ezra, how many people survived Sanherib's, the Malach? 10. Because the letter that a child can write is a Yud, just a Dat. So when it says v'nahar yichtevim, the way the Torah describes the letter yud, it's with the term anar. Anar can write the letter yud. If you're a chacham, you need to be a little bit older to write the other more sophisticated letters. But the letter yud is an easy letter to write. Okay, let me go to another idea. This is a very nice idea. You have sarai. Sarai turned into Sarah. So everyone knows the Gemara. What happened to the letter Yud? Everyone knows this. So Hashem said, "Don't worry." He was complaining. How can you take me away from the one of the most? Don't worry. I'm going to upgrade you. Getting an upgrade to first class. You're going to go from Hoshea. You're going to become the first Yud, Yehoshua. So why is that an upgrade? To go from Sarah and the Sarai became Sarah. Why is that an upgrade? So because you are at the end. Now you're going to be at the Rosh. You're going to be in the front. Before you were in the end of a woman, a female, don't say this over, shh, quiet, female, now you've been upgraded to the Rosh of a Zohar of a male. Okay, that's a famous Chazal. Now, let me tell you another Chazal. Another Chazal says that what happened to the Yud of Sarai didn't go to Yehoshua, Hoshea. Hashem took the letter Yud, which is 10, the gematria of 10, he divided it into 2. 5-5. Mm-hmm. He replaced the Yud of Sarai with Sarah, the hay at the end, and Avram, he turned into Avraham. So look at that. Sarai was misakein herself and her husband. She gave half of it away to her husband, and through that they became the prince and the princess of the entire world, Av Hamoin Goyim, and the princess of the world, and they were able to have children. Very interesting drush. Another drush. Yoshua, what happened? How did he get a Yud? He was Hoshea. He became Yehoshua. So there's another Chazal that says that Yehoshua, he took the chelik of the other 10 meraglim. There were 12 meraglim. 10 bad guys and 2 good guys. Two of the 2 good guys, Kalev and Hoshea. Kalev was rewarded. What was his reward? He got a city, got the land. What was it called? What did he get? What was the land that he got? The name of the land, if I forgot, this slips my mind. He got a significant chunk of land in Eretz as a reward for being a good guy. What did Yoshua get? What did Hoshea get? So I don't know exactly what part of land, but he got the reward that was meant to go for the other 10. There were a total of 12. Kalev got his chelak, and Hoshea got the reward. The other 10 bad guys, what they were supposed to get, went to Hoshea. That's why he got a yud, because he got the chelak of the other 10. Yehoshua. What?
Since he got the bracha from Moshe, some say he didn't get any other reward.
That was the ultimate reward.
Only one.
Yeah.
Did it on his own. Yeshua did it only because
Yeshua
bracha.
He didn't. Okay, it's another machsha. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. It's a very nice. Now, so we have a conflict. What's going on? Well, look, we have these midrashim are competing. On the one, we have a midrash. Everyone knows the midrash. Every child knows the midrash. And then there were the Sarai, the Yud went to Yehoshua. But on the other hand, we have another midrash that says that's not the case. The Yud of Sarai was divided 5-5, Avraham and Sarah. And Yehoshua got his Yud from the other 10 meraglim. What's going on? So the simple answer is, what's the big deal? Many times we have midrashim, memory chazal, which conflict. Different opinions, like Asha. But in this case, you don't have to say this. A very beautiful idea. You don't have to say that. This is from Rav Yechiel Michel Stern. You don't have to say that. They complement each other. What do we mean? Every letter has 2 parts. It has the gematria and has the form, the tsura. The gematria, what happened to the gematria? The letter Yud of Sarai has to this the gematria. What's the gematria? The gematria is 10. That numerical gematria was divided 5 and 5. That's why Avram turned into Avraham and Sarai turned into Sarah. But the form of the letter Yud went to Yehoshua. And why did Yehoshua need a form? Because Yehoshua got the spiritual reward, which is not a tangible reward, from the other 10 miraglim. So he got a virtual 10. But in order to materialize that virtual 10, to put it into tzura, it was taken from Sarai. So in other words, every letter has two parts. It has its value and its form. The value of the Yud of Sarai was split among Avram and Sarah, and its form, the letter Yud, the form, was given to Yehoshua. Why did Yehoshua need the form? Because he already had the value. The value came from the other 10 miraglim. To take that value and to put it into a form, he needed the Yud of Sarai. So really, to this Elu, the Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now the word Yud. Now this idea is a gem. I want to tell you this idea. This you're going to like. Okay, one thing at a time. The word Yud comes from the word Yehuda. Yoda. In Yiddish you say Yud is a Yid. Right? A Yid. You have a Yud, two Yuds, two Yidin, a Yud. As I always thought it was a joke. Right? A Yid. It's not a joke, because the word Yud, Yud Vav Da, when you spell the word Yud, it is the Sharish of the word Hoida, Yoda. Yud Vav Dal can be pronounced Yoda, to give thanks. Yehuda Ata Yoducha Achecha. Parsha Yechi. Yehuda, your brothers will give you praise. Yehuda is the leader of Klal Yisrael. Why was Yehuda called Yoda, Yehuda? What did Leah say? Hapam Odeh Hashem. Now I thank Hashem. I have received more than I deserve. I have received more than I deserve. Hoida. The essence of Yehuda means to give thanks. The word Yud means to give thanks. Yoda. Klal Yisrael are called Yehudim. The Megillah. Ish Yehudi. Why are we called Yehudim? Because the essence of the Jewish people is to give thanks. It was also called Yehudim after Shevet Yehuda, which is the tribe of leadership. Yehuda's Malchus. The Malchus is the leaders of Klal Yisrael. But we're also called Yehudim because the essence of Klal Yisrael are people that give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the word Yud, the essence of the word Yud is Yoda, like the pasuk Yud Ata Yoducha Achecha Hoida. Therefore, the letter Yud really refers to a Jew. It's not just a Hasid Shavart. A Yud is a Yid. A Yud is Yoda. Yud Vav Dalet. Pronounce it Yoda. There's a Sal He at the end. To give thanks. Okay, that's a very interesting idea. That's the Yud. Now, we have a pasuk in the Torah. V'atem tihiyun li segula. What's the pasuk? I'm saying it correctly? Mamlachas Kanim. V'atem tihiyun li segula. The pasuk says, "You shall be for me a nation, a segula." The attempt in Yulis, right? It's pasuk. Am segula. You shall be for me a nation that's an am segula. What is a segel? A segel is a levi, right? A segel stands for a skan kohanim. Okay, but what is a segel in the sefer Torah in a siddur? Three dots. A segel represents. What is a dot? Is a yud. Klal Yisrael are called by three different terms. We're called Yehudim, we're called Yisrael, and we're called Yeshurun. Shiftei Yeshurun. Each of those terms is a Yud. V'atem tihiyun li am segula. We're an am segula. Segol, a segol, three dots, three Yuds. Yehudim, Yisrael, and Yeshurun. Okay, so this is a very beautiful idea too.
You can add to that the segol is equal to Yehuda.
Segol.
Yehuda comes out to 30. And you have Yud is 10.
Yeah.
Two Hayes is 10. And Vav Dalet.
Dalet Vav is 10.
And Vav Dalet is also 10.
Okay, this is too complicated for me. I don't even know how to add one and one. Wow. Do you feel me? My math teacher is here. You got to work it out. Okay, the Targum always translates Ivri as until Yehuda ato yoducha. It translates Ivroi. Yehuda is translated by the Targum as Yehudoi. Ivri is always translated from after for the birth of Yehuda, or Ato Yoducha Achecha is always translated as Yehudoi. In Ivri, we're called Yehudim. The Yud is Yoda, to give thanks. It represents a Yehudi, and it represents the Am Segula. We now understand why we're called an Am Segula, three dots: Yehudim, Yisrael, and Yeshurun.
Russian
Yehudis. Yeah, the female version of Yehuda.
But which language is that?
Yehudis Hebrew. Why not? Well, Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh. This is just a feminine.
Lashon Kodesh.
No, it is Lashon Kodesh.
That's
modern Hebrew. No. Yehudis is a Hebrew word. Yehudis is used in Tanakh. Yehudis is in Tanakh.
I know the character.
Yeah.
The term Lashon Yehudis.
Lashon Kodesh, absolutely.
Because you have
differential. Modern Hebrew is a whole new world, right? But Biblical Hebrew, absolutely. Yehudis is part of Biblical Hebrew. Now, this is another interesting idea. I mean, now that we have let's go off the topic a little bit to the Yerushalayim. In Tanakh, Yerushalayim is always spelled Choser. It's missing that last yud. If you spell Yerushalayim in the way it's spelled in today in modern times with the yud, Yerushalayim, there's a yud mem. But in Tanakh, it's always spelled without the yud. The only place that it's spelled with the yud is in Megillas Esther. And that means that the Megillas Esther was the rebuilding. That was like we're learning now in Sefer, we're learning now in Ezra. That is the time when Daryovesh, Esther, where it was given permission for them to rebuild. It should be Yerushalayim HaBenuyah. It should be rebuilt. It should be Shalem. But why is it always spelled in Tanakh without the letter Yud? I'm coming to something. I want to come to something in a moment with this. And that's because Yerushalayim comes from two words. Everyone knows this. Avraham called the Makom Hashem Yeroeh. May Hashem appear on this location, Yeroeh, appear, and it was called until that point in time, it was Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. So it's a composite of Yeroeh, Hashem Yeroeh, and Sholem. Now Yeroeh is spelled Yud Resh Aleph Hey. So the Aleph is 1, Hey is 5. 5 plus 1 is 6. So the Yeroeh, those two letters turn into a Vav. So it's Yeru, and Malkei Tzedek Melech Sholem. So and Sholem, it's not Shalim, it was called Sholem. So the reason Mepharshim give explain why in Tanakh it's always called Yerushalayim without the Yud is because since it comes from Yeroeh and Sholem, not Shalim, Sholem, and the two are put together, so it would not make sense to say Yeroeh Sholem. Doesn't sound good. So the Hey and the Vav had to be merged, and it was merged numerically to make from a Hey into Hey and Aleph into 6, Yeru, Sholem, a very nice name, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, or Yerushalayim, and we don't pronounce the Yud because we want to remind everyone that originally came from Tzed, Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, it was called the Sholem. But we do allude to the fact that one day Lishan HaBenuyah Megillas Esther, which represents the idea of the Gula of Mashiach. Now with that in mind, here's a very interesting, beautiful idea. In Eicha, we have multiple Pesukim. I don't remember the whole Pasuk, but the point of the Pesukim, the Bechot Tivkei Balayla, describes the bitterness of Chorban. V'hi Marla. The Shechina is in a state of bitterness. Besuloseha nugos, vihi marlo. It is mar. How do you spell vihi? Vav, hey, yud aleph. We find there are three different things, I don't know how to say the right word for this, that are chaser because of golos. Kiyod Hashem al Kes Ka Milcham al Hashem Amalek. Now we learn that Hashem's name we all know is Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we refer to Hashem as Kiyod al Kes Ka Yud Kei. The Vav Hei is missing because of Amalek. So Hashem's name, as long as there is an Amalek in this world and there is Golus, Hashem's name has been shortened from Yud Kei Vav Kei to only Yud Kei Ka, instead of the full name Yud Kei Vav Kei. So which letters are missing? Vav Kei, Vav and a Hey, the last part of Hashem's name. Vav Hey is missing. Case, Hashem's throne is called a Kisei, a throne. The Aleph is missing. Because of Amalek, the Aleph is missing. So we have already in this pasuk Hashem's name is missing, Vav Kei, and the Aleph of Kisei is missing, and Yerushalayim is Choser. Yerushalayim is missing the Yud. When you take all those letters together, the Vav Hei and the Aleph and the Yud, you get the word Vihi. Vihi Mar La. During the time of Golus, the letters Vav Kei, Aleph and Yud, which spell Vihi, are very bitter because they have been denied closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Half Hashem's name is gone, half of the Aleph of Kisei is gone, and the Yud of Yerushalayim is gone. All of these ideas capture the essence of Golus. What is Golus? Vihi Marla. Okay, another idea. This idea I like very, very much. The Yud is really the beginning of the Aleph Beis and the end of the Aleph Beis. So what are you talking about? Nonsense. How do you write an Aleph? What's an Aleph? How, what's the most extreme part, the top part of the Aleph? It's a Yud. It's a real Yud, right?
That's how you write it.
The top of the Aleph is a Yud. That's how you write it. It's a real Yud. No jokes. It's the real deal. That's the top part of the Aleph. That's how you sell assurance. What's the last letter of an Aleph, the Aleph Beis? The last letter? Tav. The last letter. Tav. How do you write? What's the extreme bottom part? The extreme is a Yud. The letter Yud is the real beginning and the real end. It's the sandwich of the Oisiyos of the Aleph Beis. Now you understand why. Now, it used to be in the olden days. In the olden days, before came art school, how did you write Hashem's name in a siddur?
Yud.
Two yuds. For some reason today, that became extinct. I don't know, maybe some of the
space.
Now they write out Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why two yuds? Why two yuds? So one answer is because
save space.
Yisrael v'araisa v'kut shabrichu chadhi. And the letters of the Aleph Beis, which really the letters of the Aleph Beis are the letters of Hashem's name. So when you want to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole Aleph Beis, Hashem. How can you write Hashem? Think about it. I want to write Hashem. Hashem is everything. Hashem is every letter in the Aleph Beis. So if you write, you can't go write Aleph Tav. It's too much. It's At. You'll make a mistake, right? You write At Aleph and Tav. At. You're going to get confused. Baruch. At, you're going to write. You're not going to write Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's maybe it's too holy. You don't want to write that. But Hashem, you're going to write Hashem. When you want to write, refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. You want to write from the beginning to the end, the first drop of ink to the end of the last drop of ink. The first drop of ink of writing the Aleph Beis is the Aleph, is the Yud of the Aleph. The last drop of ink of the Aleph Beis is the Yud of the Tav. So Hashem, the Yud encompasses everything, drop of ink you can possibly write from the beginning to the end in the Aleph Beis. That's one reason why you have two Yuds for Hashem's name. Even now, the classic reason given is because we don't pronounce Hashem's name the same way we read Hashem's name. We read it Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we pronounce it Adonus, Ado. Dash noi, that's how we pronounce it. Now, when you spell it Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when you spell it, what's the first letter?
Yud.
When you pronounce it, what's the last syllable? Yud. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So to represent not the same way am I pronounced. am I spelled, you have two yuds. Two yuds represent Hashem's name, Hashem's complete name. Now a third reason why...
You can write yud yud.
Yud yud is not holy. It's just a form. It's just a symbol for Hashem's name. You're allowed to write two yuds. Writing two yuds is not holy because it just represents, like writing a hey with the letter with a dash on top, Hashem's name. It represents Hashem because that's the second reason. A third reason is it really refers to, it's a whole new idea, yidid. What is yud? One yud is yad. Right, yud. Yeah, yud. We saw the vav, but you could spell yud chos without a vav. Yud dalet. So yud is yud dalet. Another yud dalet is yad yad. How do you spell yidid, the beloved?
Well,
yud 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 yud. Hashem is the ultimate beloved. When you want to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you refer to Hashem? Hashem. Hashem is the yidid. He is the Yidid. Yidid means the beloved. How do you spell Yidid? Yud Dalet, Yud Dalet. What is Yud Dalet? Yud. It's just a short form. Hashem is the ultimate Yidid. The ultimate beloved one. And that's why we have two Yuds. I've given you Sach HaKol. You have to remember this is very... Unfortunately today in the Siddurim it's gone. In the new Siddurim today they don't do it anymore. When I was a child, like the Pasha, every
so that's
Shiloh Siddur, two Yuds. It could be like some of the old, the, even they reprint.
They didn't want
Yud Hey Vavke. So that's it. Did, but why do they select? Everything is a minug, Yud Yud. So it seems like it's an old, you have to search how far back it goes. There are people who do research on these and they all the Siddurim, this, that. But give three different reasons for two Yuds representing Hashem's Yud Yud Yidid. Hashem is the ultimate Yidid. Yud Yud is the Loik Keshani Nichtav Ani Nikra. Yud Kei Vav Kei Aleph Dal Nun Yud. And it's the first drop of ink of the Aleph Beis to the last drop of ink of the Aleph Beis. The Yud of the Aleph to the Yud of the Tav, the two different Yuds. Now on that note, okay, now this is a very, very deep idea. The word Yud also means a Mokom. The Yod Tihiyah Lecha Michutz LaMachaneh. So what does it mean, the yod? Yod simply means something that's a shovel, but it really means a mokoim. When you're in battle, and you shall designate a mokom, a place where you will leave the machaneh to put your waste, to relieve yourself, so that the machaneh shall remain in a state of purity. That's what we're learning in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So what is yod? Yod dal means yod, a mokom. It's a very powerful idea. What is yod? We started with yod is olam haba. It is the ultimate mokom. It is the ultimate place of spirituality. Yud is a very holy letter. Ha'asiri yihiyah kodesh. Because the yud is your mokom. Persons, whole people, they spend their whole life finding a place for themselves. Where do I belong? Everything you do in this world is all a preparation for the mokom that you are preparing. You are preparing in olam ha'emes. In that mokom, that's why the yud is represents the idea of mokom. It's a very deep idea. Okay, now the word yad, we shake hands, right? What do you do when you shake hands?
Yad
biyad, two hands together. That is yidid. Yidid. What is a yidid? A friend. You're my friend. What do you do to your friend? Shalom aleichem.
Yidid nefesh.
You're my soulmate. So what do you do? My yad comes in contact with your yad. He's shaking hands. What is this? This is a bizarre thing. Take a Martian. Take someone from Mars. Oh, here in America, here in the world, you know where we greet each other? We shake hands. What? What is this thing?
They used to bow to each other.
They're not so simple. No weapons. No weapons. But there is such a thing of yad, yidid, you're my friend. The way I show that we're friends, we're at peace with each other, I'm not going to kill you. You don't shake hands with your enemies, is you shake hands. Okay, yad, yidid. Okay. Okay, but seach es yodecha. You ask Hashem, he should open his yud. open up the makom, the yod tia lecha. Open up the makom from Shemayim, pour down your shef of bracha. Pasech es yodecha, smichas chachamim. Very deep idea. Is given with the hands. One Rebbe puts his hands upon the other hand. Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua. Hashem told him one hand, he was generous, he used two hands. Birchas Kohanim, with the hands. The Yadayim, what is the Yad, the hands? It's the Yud. It's the Yud, the Barachas always coming from the Yud, from the Yad. And the Yad, it represents, spirituality represents Olam Haba. Okay, I'm almost finished. One thing I want to leave off, and I want to make sure I got everything before I conclude, is one idea. Okay, just the large yuds and the small yuds. So we know tzur yeladecha teshi. The tzur, the rock that gave birth to you, you have made weak. Hashem criticized Klai Yisrael and Hazinu. You have made weak the yad that the rock that has given birth, referring to the avos. You have not been loyal. The pasuk in this general context means you have not been loyal, faithful to your forefathers. They are the rock, the avos. Your forefathers, they produced you. Teshi, you've made them weak by not being true to their ideals, their values. The yud is small in Teshi. Why is the yud small in Teshi? I don't know. There are a lot of reasons given. I don't have anything. I have a whole two pages of interpretation. And I read through this two pages. After everything is said, I don't really have anything tangible I can tell you. What?
Smallness.
The yud itself is the smallest letter, and here it's even smaller. Teshi, you've made so weak. The part that's weak, you've made even weaker. Okay, the only thing which really hit me a little bit is that the yud, this is an idea which is a trend which I've noticed after going through a few of the letters, is that there's a large yud. Where is the large yud? Yigdal no koyach Hashem. May the strength of Hashem, Moshe prayed, may your power be strengthened. So the trend that I've noticed over and over is that we match up small letters with big letters. It's not even to have a small, significance. What's a small letter? And you're right, it has no significance in and of itself. Its significance is that it's a corresponding large letter, and it's a form of a gezerah shava. Take what's missing from this letter and fill in, connect the two. So basically what the drasha is, Tzur yiladecha teshi, yigdan al koyach Hashem, you've made Hashem's mighty hand weak. Hashem wants, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to Hashem, Ribbono Shel'Olam, yigdan al koyach Hashem, make great, may your power be great, be strong Hashem, go and conquer all of your enemies, all the enemies of the Jewish people, and the mechazik klal Yisrael. Here Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, it's within your power to make Hashem's koyach magnified, to make it great, but instead, tzur yiladecha teshi, you have weakened. The teshi means weakened, to match yigdal to strengthen. In other words, these two are antonyms. Yigdal versus teshi. Make great, make mighty, make powerful, verse teshi, to make weak. So Moshe is saying, I was mispalel to Hashem, yigdal no koyach Hashem. You, after the Baruch, you, Klal Yisrael, you're sinners. You undermine everything I'm trying to do on your behalf. You have made Hashem's koyach weak by sinning and not being faithful to the ideals and the values of your forefathers. Now the word yud is a grammatical idea that the word yud many times adds emphasis. Yimin Hashem ne'edari ba'koyach. They add a yud at the end for poetic license at the end of the yud where it doesn't really belong in order to add emphasis. For example, Ho'ir rabosion. What do you mean rabosi? Ho'ir rabason, the city that is great with people. Rabosi, ir yud. It's not just great, it's magnificent. And how do you do that? What? Aziv is Zimraska. Now what is so interesting is you're taking a letter, and this is a very interesting idea, you're taking a letter which really is the smallest of the letter, and you're using it to magnify. Going to show you never really know where your koyach comes from. Even the smallest, most insignificant thing in life can have the greatest and most magnificent ramifications. You take the little, the smallest little yud, and it goes from rabos, not just stam rabos, rabosi, ozi, not just oz, might, ozi. Wow! You are magnifying to the infinite degree with the smallest little teeny letter, which is a very powerful limud hamusar.
First person, like Ani.
Person can be significant.
First person.
Machs is a shekel. What is machs a shekel? I'm only half. I'm a nothing. I'm only half. How many gera are in a machs a shekel? 10. The shekel is 20. 20. Machs shekel is 10. What is 10? 10 is always completeness. So it's a contradiction. I'm giving only a half, but it's 10 gera. 10 represents shleimus. The half that you give should be with shleimus. You have a complete half. You have to give it all you got. I have to recognize I'm only part, but the part that I am is an absolute shleimus in and of itself. So there's a balance between, there's always a balance between shleimus and recognizing that you're machzis. That's okay. I think I got everything. One last thing, the last riddle. I just want to make sure that I got everything. Also used to emphasize infinite, like ador. Even the 10th generation cannot come into Klal Yisrael. So you see, when you want to emphasize forever and ever, you do use the number, the letter Yud. Yud represents the concept of infinite. Okay, I think I'm just about finished. Just one last... So let me give you the riddle now, and then we're finished. The riddle is, I'm sure you know this, you've all heard about this. Yovo Yidid. Right, the Yud is Yad, right? So now we're going to double the Yad. Two Yad, Yad. Yovo made the Yidid come. Ben Yidid. The Yidid, the son of the Yidid. Yivne Yidid. And may he build the Yidid, the Yidid, for the Yidid. The Chelko shall Yidid, the Yischapu bo Yididim. 6 times is the word Yidid. One more time. Yavo Yidid, ben Yidid. The Yivne Yidid, li Yidid. The Chelko shall Yidid, the Yischapu bo Yididim. 6 times the word Yidid. Which means 12 yodos, 12 yadayim. What does it mean? So I didn't write down the psukim. I don't know the psukim, but there are 12. There are 6 things in Tanakh. Search Tanakh that are called Yidid. Yavo Yidid is Shlomo Hamelech. Shlomo is called the Yidid. Yidid Hashem. Yididya. Yavo Yidid. Ben Yidid. Avraham is called Yididi. And I think in Yeshaya, Yididi. So Yavo Yidid Shlomo, who is a descendant of Avraham Avinu. The Yivne Yidid, the base Hamigdash, is called Yidid. It's called Yidid. Li Yidid for Hashem. Hashem is the ultimate Yidid. May he build the base Hamigdash for Hashem. Bechelko, in the portion of the land, shall Yidid, which is Binyamin. Yidam is called Yidid Hashem, Chayfalav Kol Hayom. And the Yischap Rebo Yididim, Klal Yisrael as a whole, are called Yididim. So it means, may Shlomo ben Avraham come, build the base Hamigdash for Hashem in the portion of Binyamin, and Klal Yisrael will receive atonement. Yavo Yidid ben Yidid. V'yivne Yidid, li Yidid, b'chelgo shel Yidid, v'yischap rubo Yididim. 12 times the Yud. 12 Yuds together make off the Yud. This is a Chazal. This is not Moses, this is a Chazal, but because that pretty much covers the letter Yud. Have a nice day.
Tomorrow,
I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but you can have a shir. There will be a shir, Nochum Wiseman. Rav Nochum Wiseman, he's an interesting fellow. And he'll give a 9:30 to about 10:30. From 9:30 until 10:30, there will be a share. Okay, I'll tell him. I don't want to overwork him. Have a nice day.